Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, June 29, 2016. I am Jason Powell here with an audio review of the TNA Impact Wrestling show that aired on Pop TV on Tuesday night. This was a thumbs-up show. I liked a lot of what TNA did. There was some bad sprinkled in, of course, but the three-way main event featuring the big three, really, in TNA, I would argue, Lashley, EC3, and Drew Galloway. Pleasantly surprised that we actually received a clean finish in that match. There was a pinfall. It was Lashley getting the win. A bit surprised they didn't give the match more time, just to kind of make it feel bigger than it did, considering who was involved. But a lot to talk about with this show. Let's work our way through. We started with Josh Matthews and the Pope, D'Angelo Gennaro, on commentary, and Matthews hyping that main event as a shot of Lashley was shown arriving at the building. And then we had a recap video of the Jeff Hardy and Broken Matt Hardy cage match from the week before, as well as Mike Bennett winning the X Division Championship. Mike Bennett and Maria started things out. They were in the ring for a promo, and Maria was thanking Billy Corgan for being a gracious and fair leader in the absence of the evil Dixie Carter. And the story here is, for those not paying close attention, is that Maria was slapped by Dixie, and Billy Corgan recommended that Dixie take 1 week off to let cooler heads prevail. I don't know. I thought this might be leading to some sort of thing where he wanted her out of the picture for a week, so if he was going to turn heel or something, he had some master plan. There really wasn't anything that I saw that made me think that, okay, there's something in the works here as far as why he needed this show. So it was just, I guess, they just thought, we'll have her sit out for a week. I don't know. But Bennett was boasting about being the X Division champion and how that is going to get him a TNA title shot, because the gimmick is you can cash in the X Division championship and get a TNA title shot at Destination X. That's why he went after the title in the first place. And he talked about Lashley and how he might be big and bad, but he's not half the man that that the Miracle is. Well, that brought out Lashley. And he said he wouldn't call him the Miracle. He says, okay, Mikey. And then he told Bennett to look at himself and then look at me. And he said that Bennett is half the man that he is. And Bennett said that he wouldn't be intimidated by Lashley's big dog in the yard routine. Wait, what is it with guys taking jabs at Mike Bennett's appearance? You had EC3 a while back pointing out that he skips leg day at the gym. And now you have Lashley pointing out the size difference. Bennett, I mean, he didn't look really bigger than Eddie Edwards when they were in the X Division, maybe a little bit taller. But I don't really, when he was in there with Lashley, it's like, well, Lashley's bigger than just about everybody in TNA. EC3 is close, but aside from that, he's going to be bigger than most guys. Galloway has really good size to him, but I don't think about Bennett's size until they point it out to me. But anyway, Lashley was just boasting about who he'd run through, and Bennett was still adamant that he was going to cash in the X title, and Lashley finished it off by telling him, you don't want to do that. And that brought out EC3. And he talked about how he's going to take the TNA Championship back later in the show. And Lashley talked about how it would be a fight. He would beat up EC3 and make the people realize he's not half as tough as the people think he is. And then Bennett said he doesn't care what either one of them said. He's going to take the title. And EC3 accused Bennett of kissing up to a rock star and taking advantage of his aunt's mistake. And he called Bennett a piece of shit, which was censored. And then Billy Corgan walked down to the stage to the same non-reaction that Dixie Carter gets for being a big rock star. You would think that, like, some people would be excited to see Billy Corgan. It's just, and they are if you go to his concert, obviously. I mean, he has a Smashing Pumpkins, and Billy Corgan have a big following. But when it comes to him appearing in TNA, kind of feels like the bloom is off the rose, if it was ever there. Corgan said he might be hard of hearing, but he questioned whether he just heard one of TNA's best and brightest stars impugn his integrity. And he said he may be an icon elsewhere, but he's in TNA to be a judicious observer. And I'm like, okay, can you really talk about yourself as being an icon? It might be true about his status in the rock world. I mean, is that a hint that he's turning heel, or is that just that's how he talks about himself, or that's how he was scripted to talk about himself? I don't know, but he said that because of what EC3's aunt did, they were put in this situation, and he said that Bennett made a good case for getting a title shot, so he granted that title shot. And then Bennett thanked him for telling EC3 and Lashley that he earned the title fair and square. And then they start dropping all sorts of Smashing Pumpkins references, and you had Melancholy and Infinite Sadness. You had Billy Corgan at the end of this saying "Tonight, tonight." He was smiling on the stage over this, and then, but he said that Bennett makes sense to him, but he hopes he doesn't think he will talk his way into the main event of Destination X. He said that the title needs to be defended, and so he ended up booking him against the winner of a Battle Royal. It would be so, yeah, an X Division title match against the winner of a Battle Royal, and that's where he said the "Tonight, Tonight" line. And then Bennett attacked EC3. Drew Galloway came out, and he ended up fighting Lashley. He tried to give him a Claymore kick. Lashley moved. EC3 takes the kick instead. Nobody is better at dodging moves apparently than Bobby Lashley, who they just call Lashley in TNA, by the way. But which is cool. I like that they just dropped the Bobby part. Lashley, the Dominator Lashley or whatever, the Destroyer. That's what it is. It works. But yeah, it just seems like any time that Galloway, or especially Galloway, but I think EC3 has gone for things, but mostly Galloway, when he goes for a move, Lashley avoids it, and EC3 ends up taking it. Matthews then hyped the TNA Knockouts title match for coming up after the break, and then they recap the opening segment coming out of that commercial, and then we had Galloway telling EC3 backstage that he was trying to help him, the kick wasn't intentional. EC3 wasn't pleased, and they kind of had to be held apart by a few wrestlers who were backstage. And then it was time for the first match, and the only match for quite some time on the show. Sienna beat Gail Kim in 3:15 to retain the TNA Knockouts title. We had a promo from Allie about how Gail needed to retire or be forced into retirement by Sienna. She's really going, you know, they're playing up the voice in a big way. I just think the Allie character's cool. It's not about the voice for me. I know that it's like it's annoying, and they feel like it gets her heat. Okay, I mean, and maybe it does. I don't know. It's just I like the character more than I care about the voice. But this one, she tried to interfere. Allie did. Kim stopped her, but then she turned around and took what they called the silencer. And Sienna ended up pinning Gail off the silencer. And the silencer is basically she runs at you and just kind of pushes you over. I think it's like a. I don't know if it's supposed to be like a shoulder block or if, you know, I don't know what it's supposed to be, or if this was like a botched spot and they just decided to call it the silencer. I don't think so. But no, it she needs a better move. The silencer doesn't quite do it. So disappointing that the match with the two top knockouts, the title match went 3 minutes and 15 seconds. That needed something more. I mean, Gail has the out that Allie interfered, but yeah, just not a fan of the length of the match. It didn't feel important. They advertised it a week out, so I thought they were going to actually give this some time, but no, it just was one of those matches that just you kind of forgot about by the time the show was over, unfortunately. They ended up showing more footage from the cage match, and then we saw Rebbe Hardy wheeling Matt Hardy, who was holding baby Maxwell. They were in the backstage area. Matt's in a wheelchair, and Broken Matt said that he won't stop coming until he gets what he needs, and he said it's not over ever. And then they went to a commercial. They came back, and Drew Galloway told Mike Bennett that he just can't stop running his mouth, can you? And Bennett said that he's going to challenge for the TNA title at Destination X. Bennett boasted that he beat Galloway, who said that he won because of his wife. And then it was time for a Fact of Life talk show segment. At this point, I'm like just impulsively like, where's the remote? God, I want to turn this off. Turned out to be a good one. It didn't start that way, with Drake telling some story about his dad making great mashed potatoes and how the Drakes do two things well, make great mashed potatoes and whip keister, and he's just hitting the dummy button and stuff like that. And he just talked about how the veterans are bothered by a newcomer like him coming into TNA and having so much success. Things did pick up. He introduced James Storm as his guest. And once they got settled in here, it was a good segment. You know, the crowd was into James Storm. Drake is an agitator. I don't know that he's found himself yet. I keep saying that. You know, he can talk, and I probably labeled him a good talker before. He definitely has the gift of gab. He hasn't put it together yet, but this is the closest. This is the best segment he's been involved in since coming to TNA. It's not even close. Storm wanted to play a drinking game. Every time Drake would hit that dummy button, he would drink. And Drake, he didn't want to drink beer, so he pulled out a gallon of water that he just happened to have under the podium that he uses, and the fans booed. And then in the greatest Eli Drake line to date, he says, "You're going to boo water?" I thought that was awesome. And then Storm did drink whenever Drake hit the button. This went on for a bit. And then you had Drake boasting about being the King of the Mountains champion and then asking Storm where his title was. And Storm gets very passionate and talking about how he's been in TNA since day one, paved the way for punks like Drake. And he said he's busted his butt for 14 years, giving the fans everything that he has. Drake said Storm likes to play dress up with his cowboy gear, and then he was taking other jabs at him and pressing the button, and told and ended up Storm changed the rules of the game. He said that whenever Drake hit the button, this time from now on, he would just slap the piss out of him. And Storm told him, "Go on, hit the button." And Drake teased it, stopped, wouldn't do it. And then Drake said Storm had enough time on a show. Storm said he would walk away, but one day their paths would meet, and he would beat Drake's ass. And the crowd was really into this. And then Storm started to leave, but Drake told him take his beer with him, and then kind of rolled it by him, I think is what it was. And then Drake looked into the camera to talk, and Storm hit him with the Last Call super kick. I don't even, you know, as I wrote last night in my live review, I don't even know that the physicality was necessary in this segment. I mean, it was fine, but they had the crowd when Storm was leaving, when he was, you know, telling them, "Hey, our paths will meet," but you know, and when they do, I'm gonna kick your ass. The crowd was right there, and I think it would have been that rare time where, you know, you wouldn't have known this scripting it, obviously laying the show out, but he could have walked away, and I think the crowd would have been content with Storm's music playing to end the segment. But yeah, well done. I think they finally found someone that Eli Drake has some chemistry with. James Storm is a tremendous talker, and you know, I think this will be the first time I'm actually looking forward to an Eli Drake match. Whenever they get around to Storm against Drake, they worked well together. You know, Storm carried the segment, but Drake was a good agitator, and yeah, I think that it. Finally, Eli Drake has something that you know, he can sink his teeth into. He's a feud that people are going to care about, I think. And they've had him in there with Drew Galloway and others, and it just really hasn't clicked. I think it was a little too much too soon when they had the Galloway thing, when their faction broke up and Drake turned heel and all that. I just don't think people cared. But I think this can work. I still don't give a damn about the King of the Mountain Championship. I don't know why it exists. Maybe these two can elevate it. Seeing is believing. As good as Storm is on the mic and everything, does anyone care about the King of the Mountain title? I don't. Backstage, Jeff Hardy was asked about his brother, and he just laughed, and he said they would come face-to-face, and they went to a commercial, and they came back. They showed some footage from earlier in the day, as they labeled it, from a taping of the Explosion show that airs in the UK and elsewhere. We don't get that here in the US, but it had Decay attacking Bram, and then he was backstage. And he looked like he was out of it. I thought that was the idea, was that he was, like, knocked out, because Rosemary is just kind of getting uncomfortably close with him, and she said it's not like he has a choice in the matter, because everyone comes to Decay. And he said she said that they like that he fights it, and he said that, or she said that he can come willingly, while others will need to be coerced, or some come willingly, others need to be. Others need to be coerced. Easy for me to say. She teased kissing him, and he seemed willing. But then she pulled back and told him, "Let Decay happen." And he was talking a little bit in this too, so it was just kind of a weird segment. And I don't mean weird just because of Decay. I don't know where this is going. I can't say I'm all that intrigued, but it's not like I'm reaching for the remote like I would when an Eli Drake talk show segment typically starts. Rebby ended up pushing Broken Matt to the ring in his wheelchair. She had him wheel him around the ring. Or he had her wheel him around the ring. Man, I need some coffee this morning. But Matt was just talking about he wanted to get a look at the despicable creatures, which is what Matt Hardy, or Jeff Hardy, calls his fans. And he said that he is responsible for the success of Brother Nero and the Hardy Brothers. He detests all the creatures. And then he ended up calling out Jeff, and they questioned whether Jeff would come out going into the break. And it's like, well, yeah, he said they would come face to face. I get it. They got to plug something going into the break. Jeff comes out, coming out of that commercial break, and we'll cut it off right there for just a moment, because this was the beginning of the second hour of the show, and I just want to jump in and tell you about the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. If you enjoy this audio show, know that there are tons of audio shows available exclusively for .net members. This week alone, the members have heard my wife I think it was 40-minute or so audio review of WWE Raw, my Q&A audio show. The members will hear Jake Barnett and I get together coming up on Thursday for the .NET Weekly audio show. Zach Zimmerman will be by with his NXT audio review. Will Pruitt is actually going to give you guys his Lucha Underground audio review on the All Access side on Thursday. However, Will typically, well, he's done one for every show so far. Even if he's missed a week, he's gone back and doubled up on it. So every Lucha Underground show covered in audio form by Will. Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed handle the Ring of Honor audio TV show audio reviews. For that matter, I covered the Ring of Honor Best in the World pay-per-view, and that night members got an audio review of that show. So if you're into audio content, we have a ton of it available, not just here on the All Access side, but available exclusively for members. And the membership rates start at $7.50 for 1 month. You can knock that price down to an average of $5.50 per month if you take the annual option. All the information available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. Once you are there, you will see the sign-up area, and you will find those three different pricing options, including the, I guess I didn't even mention, the six-month option is available if you want to knock a little bit of price off as well. But we'd love to have you find out what we do on the member side. And so take advantage of that $7.50 price tag to get started. See if we're a good fit for you. And let me know if you decide to take advantage of it. And if you ever have any questions about the site, about the members forum, anything like that, always happy to help. And you can do so by reaching out to me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet, or by shooting me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just be sure to spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. And now for the second hour of Impact, Matt wanted another match. He needs one more. And he said that if Jeff would give him 6 weeks to recuperate, they could have one more match, and it would be Armageddon. And Jeff was down. And then Rebby, of course you are. You know, she's all pissed off at Jeff, saying that he created Broken Matt. She's the one who needs to deal with it. Jeff told her to get on her broom and go fly away. And I think he was supposed to include a line about the Harry Potter thing that was must be at Universal, because he kind of repeated himself to work that in. And then he said that he would take care of his nephew. And Rebby told Jeff, don't you ever mention my son. And so Rebby's got Jeff facing away from Matt, and that's when Matt stood up from the wheelchair and attacked Jeff from behind, ran him into the ring steps, and then threw him inside the ring. He got a chair from Rebby and hit him with it. And then, actually, I don't know if he, yeah, he did strike him with the chair, but then he put his head, kind of wrapped it inside the chair, and then gave him a twist of fate. And Matt took the mic and said, there will be a match, and it will take place in 1 week's time. And he said that the match would not happen at the Impact Zone, Hellhole, as he called it. And he said, we must go to the sanctuary of our Genesis. This final battle will happen at our home. One last dance in Cameron, North Carolina. And he says, it will be me and you, Brother Nero, your final deletion. I like this because obviously they got a lot of attention for that that crazy video that they did at with Matt and Broken Matt and Jeff. That kind of got some people paying attention. Now, I don't know that it really led to anyone, you know, a substantial number of people checking out Impact because of that video that that got a lot of attention. But or if it led to any Slammiversary buys that week, it may, I'm sure, led to some, but I don't know that it was substantial. Now, in this case, they're going back. They're kind of telling you it's going to be along those same lines. You know, Matt has the it's like a big, I don't know if you call it a shed. I don't think it's a barn. So I guess a shed, and he's got a ring out there, and that's where they filmed the last one, along with inside Matt's house. And it was very Lucha Underground-like, and it got some response. And a lot of it was, this is insane in a bad way. Some of it was, this is great in a... you know, kind of an ironic way, but it still it got attention for TNA, and now they're telling you it's coming. And you know, as I wrote last night, if this were like WWE or somebody else, I'd say this is foolish, because you can build up this match and hopefully, you know, draw a crowd, or, you know, get, make some money off of this somehow. In TNA, there's no live events, there's no pay-per-view coming up. You know, Bound for Glory is probably the next one in October, and so why wouldn't you do this again and do it on television? And so, yeah, they're just telling you, hey, a week from now, you're going to get, basically get the next installment of the crazy Broken Matt video, and he's going to be facing Jeff in a match that'll be filmed at their place. And I also like it because it's the odds of this of spoilers leaking about that match very minimal. You know, so it's kind of cool that that TNA is able to do something with their taping schedule that doesn't get out online ahead of time. So that should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. The broadcast team hyped the X Division Battle Royal. Mike Bennett sat in on commentary for that match. The match itself, and by the way, I mean we'd gone a long time without a match. This was the second match on this show, and we are into the second hour. So one match in the whole first hour, and it was. Boy, nearly 15 minutes into the, yeah, just before the 15-minute mark. So they went like 70 minutes with 1 3-minute match. But I will say, I didn't really get bored. It wasn't like I was sitting around going, "Come on, get to the ring," throughout that, you know, most of that time. I started to. But it, you know, it, so but they filled the time well, despite not having much in-ring action. And then you go from. You don't get any. You get a 3 minutes knockouts match, and then you get a battle royal. And it was Braxton Sutter winning the battle royal to earn an X Division title shot. The he's formerly known as Pepper Parks. And it this was it came down to well, the guys in it were Eddie Edwards, Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett, Rockstar Spud, Braxton Sutter, DJZ, and Mark Andrews. And it came down to. Sutter in there with Everett and Lee. He avoided a shot from Lee, and Lee ended up hitting Andrew Everett to eliminate him, and then Sutter eliminated Lee to get the win. It's fine. I mean, I could complain, I guess, about Trevor Lee not being taken care of, but it's one match. It's a battle royal. It's not a big thing. Helms attacks Sutter afterward, and then his then Lee and Everett, who are in the Helms dynasty, I think they're calling it, joined in. They ended up leaving Sutter lying, and then Bennett entered the ring and told the referee to stay where he was. He wanted his X Division title match to happen right now, and the referee didn't want to start the match, but Bennett ordered him to ring the bell, and for some reason, the referee didn't just tell him, "Well, go to hell. Why would I? What kind of power do you have?" But the referee called for the bell, and then Bennett beats Sutter to retain the X Division Championship. Short match. Sutter did kick out of initially, so he showed a little bit of heart. And actually, I don't even know if he kicked out as much as he maybe he did, but it was the inside cradle that he got him. He caught Bennett in an inside cradle, but then Bennett quickly recovered and hit his MIP finisher, which is Miracle in Progress, and so he got the win. So you know, another quick match. Not a whole lot of strong wrestling on this show, and I'm like, God, you know, can we get a good match? I knew the main event was coming. Well, we ended up with Grado and Mahab Ali Shira talking about their match with Al Snow and the Tribunal, which is going to be a six-man tag, but they didn't have a partner. I'm like, oh no. They ended up playing up the idea of who the third man would be. Shira wanted some money. I guess Grado owes him money, and Grado was trying to say that, you know, hey, they paid for their partner, and when they win this match, they can both eat like kings. And I did have John Moore point out to me that he saw the screener of Impact, and I watched it live on Pop TV. And what happened was I was falling behind because I was also doing SmackDown spoilers simultaneously, trying to do two things at once. And so there were times when I'd fall behind, and I'd use the commercial breaks to catch up. And he said there were a lot of Tyrus commercials. I think it was like some kind of a problem solver thing on the screener, and I'm guessing those did make the air on Pop, but I just saw them as commercials and sped right through them. So I apologize if I did miss those, but just wanted to take a moment to explain that. If they didn't air on the show, I don't know why, but I'm guessing that's what happened. It was just kind of a bit of a frenzy last night with SmackDown spoilers coming in at the same time as Impact was airing. But anyhow, we go from that to the main event, or not the main event, but the fourth match of the night, and it was Tyrus, of course, teaming with Mahab Ali Shira and Grado, and they ended up beating Al Snow, Baron Dax, and Basile Baraka, the Tribunal. Dax and Baraka are the Tribunal. It was Snow just kind of avoided everything. He had a whistle in his mouth like the entire time, and eventually Tyrus and pinned Baraka. And then the broadcast team spoke about Tyrus being the problem solver, and Matthews questioned whether he will solve problems for others. So I guess they've come up with something different for Tyrus. Are his services no longer needed by broken Matt Hardy? I don't know. And all I could think of here, and all the, you know, like, wow, we've had three matches, and two of them were brief, and one was a battle royal. Now, be careful what you wish for, because this went on No, it was. I didn't get a time on it. It wasn't ridiculously long. I know it just felt like it because it was the Tribunal and Grado and Mahabali Shira. We got a recap of the Battle Royal and the X Division title match, and then backstage, Bennett said the X title is all about 5-star matches, and he just had a 10-star match with Sutter, and he boasted that he's the best X Division champion ever, and he said he would come out at the start of next week's show to call out Billy Corgan so he can cash in his title to get the TNA title shot at Destination X. We had a recap of the Broken Matt and Brother Nero segment, and then it was time for the introductions for the main event with Jeremy Borash handling the intros, and then the match itself was Lashley defeating EC3 and Drew Galloway in a triple threat to retain the TNA title in 9 minutes and 10 seconds. And that was kind of my complaint about this, is you have your three biggest stars in TNA right now, and you can make a case for Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy belonging somewhere in that mix, and Mike Bennett. But I mean, to me, it's like these are the three guys right now: Lashley, EC3, and Galloway. And I mean, again, pleasantly surprised we saw a clean finish here with Lashley. I'll just take you through the final moments of the match. You have EC3 caught Lashley going for a spear, and he blasted him with a knee, and then he set up for his finisher. But Galloway caught him with a Claymore kick, and I couldn't tell if it was meant to be at EC3 or Lashley. I mean, once you're in the match, I don't think it matters that much. But Lashley ended up spearing Galloway and then did the same to EC3 and pinned EC3. So EC3, they made a big deal out of him losing his being pinned by Mike Bennett, calling it his first loss in TNA and all of that. And now he lost again. And really, they didn't make a big fuss over EC3 being pinned. It surprised me. I mean, Galloway is a guy that has proven he can lose a match and talk, be just fine. And I think EC3 can as well. It's just they've made such a big deal out of keeping him, for a long time unscathed, not having anyone beat him. And here he is losing again. But it was a good match. It just didn't feel long enough. I wish they would have trimmed some of the fat of this show away and given these guys more time out there. You don't have a pay-per-view until probably until October. And so I don't see why you wouldn't give these guys a minimum of 15 minutes and make this feel like it's something special. These are three guys who can accomplish that. And again, they did fine in the 9 minutes they were given to work with. It just wasn't enough time to feel like it was anything special. But Lashley retains the championship, and where do they go from here? I mean, at least if he had pinned Galloway, you would have a situation where Lashley and EC3 can say that Lashley still hasn't pinned him. Well, he's already beaten Galloway at Slammiversary and before that, and now he's beaten EC3 in this match. And I'm guessing EC3 will come out and make a case for something other than a triple threat. He wants a singles match, but I mean, he was pinned in this, so I don't know where they go from here. I'm not quite sure who Lashley will face next, if EC3 and Galloway have to have a match to determine the number one contender. I don't know, but I guess we'll start to find out more details on that. But Lashley definitely looking strong as a champion, definitely looking like he's kind of outsmarting these guys in a way. And so he's been a good champion again for TNA. Not surprised by that, because Lashley as a heel is a good thing. He does a good job in this role, much better than he was. He's a much better talker than he was, and he's delivering in the ring too. I'm really digging the Lashley character. But that is going to do it. That was Impact for this week, and so I will be back most likely on Monday. I think you're going to hear, like I said, from Will Pruitt on the All Access side. I'll be back for members tomorrow with .NET Weekly, but here on the All Access side, you'll hear from Will Pruitt with the Lucha Underground review on Thursday. And I haven't talked to the guys, but most likely you're going to hear the Ring of Honor television review. It's kind of a fun show. It was the Women of Honor show this week. I'll have my review up on the site, my print review, on sometime today, Wednesday afternoon, and then you'll most likely hear from Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Glee discussing that show on Friday morning for the All Access side. And in fact, I probably won't be back till Tuesday, because Monday is Independence Day, so I'm not sure if we'll have an All Access show that day or not. But maybe I'll do Tuesday night, or late Monday night, kind of an early Tuesday morning audio review of the WWE Raw show for you guys, and put that out on the All Access side. But we'll figure it out. But thank you so much for listening, everybody. Again, find all the membership details at prowrestling.net. Take a moment to subscribe to this daily podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. All the good stuff I usually ask you guys to do. It is appreciated. Thanks to everybody who's done that. And thanks to everyone for listening. Take care.